is the McDonald's Viking Rail Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Rail Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Vinton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the world wide web.
From abandoned room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
And welcome to another edition of the Viking Round Ball Podcast. Yes, you've tuned in to the right place to get caught up on everything that is Vinton County Viking basketball. Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, I'm Carl Knox. The podcast presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Taping this little ditty. Coach, this is important. On Tuesday, January 17th, we'd like to throw our listeners a little curveball.
Keep them on their toes, yeah.
We're tardy. We're a day late and a dollar short. Had other stuff get in the way yesterday, like a game.
Yeah. So not a practice.
Not a practice. We'll tape when we have practice.
Yes.
But not when we have a game. Never a game.
No.
The coaches...
Too many things on our mind that day.
Oh, yeah. You're completely indispensed on game day. Not as bad as you used to be.
No.
Well, you're looking dapper today.
Well...
But what is it, casual dress Tuesday, or just as the athletic director and head basketball coach of an undefeated team, you just take liberties of...
Well, you got to, you know, I had to mop some floors today and some cleanup, so...
Just talked about that last night at the Maysville game. I got some experience in the custodial arts as well.
Yes, I saw that. Now, some people at the scorer's table snapped some photos of you over there doing some work.
I have not been made aware of those photos yet.
Was
it one, i.e. Bruce Cakes Knox? And
I think probably him and the Llama both had, it was a team effort.
Well, it probably wasn't being done out of admiration or respect. It was more.
I'm sure not.
Okay, no one else is going to clean it up.
No, it wasn't me. I appreciate you cleaning it up.
You were back there in the, you handed me, a broom and a dustpan or something. I didn't realize it was Dippin' Dots. I thought it was just candy.
Yeah, those things, those Dippin' Dots, man, things, when they melt, they make a mess, too. I had to mop some of those up today. So.
Yeah, the remnants that I shoved a lot of them underneath the bleachers. that's what you got.
Yeah.
See, all the people all over the world, they tune in for this.
Yes.
Half of them
have just deleted this podcast.
Yeah, we're done. We've lost our core audience, and we're what?
We've got a good guest, so don't quit on us yet.
No, hang tough. We're 3 minutes and 22 seconds into this thing, but we're going to get it together. No, we got a good guest coming up here shortly. A name that with the Alexander Spartans being our next opponent over at Albany, we thought we would kind of coincide one of Alexander's very successful young coaches that played there, was a standout basketball player and a football player, and has gone on to do very well as a professional coach and now as a D1 assistant at High Point University down in North Carolina. Eric Gabriel will join us here in a little bit. The only downfall about Eric is his dad is Blaine Gabriel.
Yeah, we like to give Blaine a hard time. Blaine's a good guy. You know, he goes around and watches a lot of basketball, so people see him out and still likes the game, and even though he got out of coaching there, he's
a junkie.
Goes out and sees it. But Eric, I was actually a coach. I was coaching JV basketball back in right around 1999-ish or so, and he was a player there, so I got to know him and got to know his dad, obviously, and his dad was the head coach there for years and years.
Right.
And it's going to be fun talking to Eric and see how he's doing at the next level.
Well, we do have some business to take care of before we get Eric in here. 3 more wins. Your record now up to 12-0. Don't want to jinx you. The AP poll, coaches poll came out yesterday.
Yeah.
Week 2, you moved up a slot.
Well, I mean, I told our kids, I said, you know, look, we're gonna just enjoy the process, and we're going to just keep playing hard, practicing hard, and you know, so you know, I know they like that kind of thing. Kids always look at that and enjoy it, and coaches get ready for the next one. So that's kind of what we do.
And it's nice. It's good for the community, and it's, you know, when you see your name on a state level, but at the end of the day, it's a poll. It's an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, your ultimate goal obviously is to be one of the better teams in the state at the end of the season. So you're hoping that, you know, you just keep improving and get better toward that.
Okay. Well, three games over the past week since we last taped, a 77-54 win over Logan. That was on this January the 10th. And despite the score, I thought this game was definitely physical. But despite Logan's youth, their athleticism, and the way they played, I tell you what, that's going to be a heck of a rematch when we got to go up there to the Jim Myers Gymnasium. But just your thoughts on that win, because they played you guys tough.
Well, I mean, they're a good team. But Logan's probably, you know, when you look at your schedule, if you break your schedule down into thirds, you know, the best teams you play, the middle teams, and the worst. I mean, right. Logan's definitely in that top part. I mean, they're one of probably the top five or six teams on our schedule for sure. If not even higher than that, and very well coached, obviously, and with a guy that's had a lot of experience and a lot of, like you say, a lot of talent. Now, some of it's younger; they have some sophomores, and we sort of hoped that night that environment, because that place was packed and it was loud, and we sort of hoped that maybe the experience would pay off for us, and maybe it did. I thought our guards handled it well, and we got going and really created some things with our defense, and you know, was able to score off that a little bit, and then hit some shots, and we handled their size. And, you know, that was the thing going in. We talked about, I think, on that show before that, was just, can we handle their size? And I thought we did that all right.
Yeah, the one of the telling stats, and we even talked about it before the game when I was talking to you back in the tunnel there, and you're like, I tell you what, if we want to hang with these guys, we're going to have to rebound well. And that you did, out-rebounding a team that most definitely had more overall size, as you out-rebounded them 30-27 overall. But there in the late in the first quarter, second quarter, Nayland Yates kind of goes on a run with the three ball. He goes, you know, 5 of 9 from beyond the arc by himself. As a team, you guys are 11 of 20. And then, you know, just from the field, shoot 60%. Anytime you get 60% out of your team and then shoot over 50% from the three ball land, you know, that right there tells a tale. But a good win, but you know, I think, like you said, the maturity of your kids kind of shined there, because it was, you know, obviously a lot of Viking fans are coming out of the woodwork, and you're starting to get with that home stretch we're coming off of. But Logan, obviously being a D1 basketball school, they travel very well.
Oh,
they
had
a nice crowd.
No, Logan brought a great crowd, and like you said, it'll be a heck of a rematch later in the year over there at Logan. You know, they'll be waiting in the weeds for us, I'm sure, and wanting to get us, so it'll be a battle. But we schedule games like that, like we said, to make us better. Those are games that are going to make you better come tournament time, because that was certainly a tournament atmosphere that night.
Fort Benton County, Nayland Yates leads the Vikings with 27. Tristan has 24. Derek Jones has 16. Jake Smeekman and Evan Yates have 2. Eli Griffith with 4, and Bryce Damron with 2 as well. Then on Friday, January the 13th, a big TVC kind of get back into the league play as the Meg Marauders visit you on your home turf, and you come away with a 64-56 win. A little different than the Logan game. You come away with a win, but you did not shoot the ball as well as a team. You knew going into it, and we talked about it. Ed Fry loves that 1-3-1 zone, and they play it well. Now, that being said, my question for you is, having watched the tape numerous times, it seemed to me that offensively we didn't – I mean, a win's a win, but I don't feel like we had the poise offensively. There was a lot of trips where it seemed like we were rushing things. Yeah. It's like we were just trying to go on a binge of, we're just going to outscore these guys rather than patience. What were your thoughts on that game, especially in the first half?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only thing offensively that I was disappointed in was some early turnovers, and a lot of those were travels.
Really?
It was because, yeah.
Well, there was only like 5,000 travels in that game.
Yeah, but it was one of those deals where we were getting in a hurry. Most of those, I think, probably were travels. I mean, sometimes you don't see that many called, but I mean, there wasn't very many that you could say, oh, that's terrible. I mean, I mean, their feet's shuffling. I mean, I thought we got in a hurry against their zone. We wanted to penetrate some gaps in it. We wanted to, you know, make the extra pass. But I just thought our kids early on just thought, man, it's got to come faster than this. It's got to come faster than this. We got in a little bit of a hurry. But, you know, really offensively, if you think about it, we scored 20 points and we were up 11 at halftime and scored 19 points in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the breakdown was more defensively. We failed to get a couple loose balls, which sort of bounced into to their hands, and they had a couple and ones off those. They hit a couple shots where we didn't get out and rotate. So I thought our defense let us down, because if you're up 11 at halftime and you score 19 points in the third quarter, you ought to have 15, 16-point lead.
Right.
And we just didn't defend the way we normally have. And I thought in the fourth quarter, we just saw an opportunity with them in that zone to say, hey, you know, we got a 10-point lead here. We've got the guards to spread these guys out and run some clock, and we started doing that a little bit, because we feel like, you know, we'd like to play fast, obviously, but we have the guards to protect the lead too, and we just thought with them in the zone, that was the better way to go on that night.
Scoring for Vinton County, Tristan Bartow leads all scorers with 19. Or I'm sorry, Derrick Jones leads all scorers with 21 points. Tristan Bartow with 19. Jake Speakman with 6, as did Eli Griffith. Nayland Yates has 8. Bryce Dameron and Caleb Montgomery both 2 for Vinton County. And that gets you to 11-0 and keeps your TVC record unblemished with a 5-0 TVC Ohio mark. And then last night, kind of an odd game for a Monday.
Yeah.
A boys varsity, girls varsity twin bill as the Maysville, what was it, the Pirates? What
were they? Panthers.
Panthers, yeah. Pirates, whatever it takes. Ugh. Will you mute your phone?
Well, I don't know. Blowing up over here. Well, now you know this game yesterday, not to interrupt you, but this game was supposed to have been kind of an all-day deal. You know, we were supposed to play like, you know, freshman boys and JV girls, so forth. And I didn't realize when we scheduled this that we would be in school yesterday. So we were obviously one of the few, you know, schools probably in session. So I had to call Maysville back and say, hey, listen, you know, and with their trip, we just decided let's just start varsity girls at 5 o'clock, play varsity girls, varsity boys. And I think they probably got home in a decent hour, you know, last night, honestly. They got a long trip, but I would say at least by probably
2 a.m.
You know, yeah. I'd say probably by 10:30, you know, they were probably rolling in, because we started the varsity boys game around maybe 6:40, 6:45 or something.
Yeah, so it was nice to get home. I mean, even
different. So I wouldn't want to do it every time, but I was worried about our guys, just, you know, different environment, earlier start, but obviously they came out ready to play. You know?
Yeah. And last night was just one of those games. No disrespect to Maysville. You know, they have nice kids, athletic. They had trouble scoring the ball, and we were hitting on all cylinders. At one point in time, I think the score was 20-0 right out of the gate, or 20-2, something like that. You guys come out to a 27-8 lead after one quarter. The score at halftime, 54-25. Then you outscore them 24-16 in the third, en route to the 88-64 final. And you were starting to go deep into your bench probably, 3 minutes into the third quarter?
Yeah, we mixed some guys in. It was nice to get Seth and Curtis, our two seniors that don't play much, in. Of course, you know, we were shorthanded as it was, because Jake was sick. Of course, Antonio had that awful injury last night.
Status on him?
Yeah, we don't really know. He dislocated his knee last night. It was put back in place. It was tough to look at. It was right in front of our bench. But I told him, I was like, you're a lot tougher than me. If that had happened to me, I'd have been sucking my thumb over in a corner or something, screaming. I mean, this kid was just like, my knee. You know, he didn't even really react.
When he went down, I'm like, get up. What's wrong?
Oh, yeah.
And then he kind of moved over, and it was gross.
And so it was obviously pretty swollen last night. When even after the trainer was able to, you know, put it back where it's supposed to be, it was swollen. And he's going to have to get you know, some tests, obviously, probably an x-ray, maybe an MRI. I don't know what all they're going to do on him. You know, hopefully the trainer was optimistic. So hopefully, you know, he'll be okay eventually here. And anyway, with those two guys out in the second half, we went a little deeper into our bench, like you said earlier, got those kids some playing time, and then tried to rotate some kids in. You know, it's obviously you're not looking to, like, embarrass anybody, but at the same time, your starters deserve to play their minutes too, so we're trying to sort of balance that.
Had some interesting combinations. It was the first time, I think, this year in the regular season, at least, that I've seen you have Eli and Bryce both in the game at the same time, which is an interesting dynamic.
We thought we'd use that time to practice a little bit. We haven't played a lot of two-post combinations, but you never know. It might be something we look at down the road. And also gave us an opportunity to play some zone, which we don't do much. And, I think you always – you don't waste time. You know, if a game is decided, so to speak, use it some way. And I thought we got a little zone work in, like you said, got to play two posts together. So we tried to use it.
Interesting night. Good win for Vinton County. Stay undefeated. It doesn't cease to amaze me, this group of guys. Yeah. Not just the obviously they're very talented and undercoached, but a very talented group of kids. Yes. But they are close, and they really have a lot of fun. You don't see a lot of nerves. As part of my janitorial duties last night, when I was running back and forth, first it was the broom, the dust mop, then I realized we need paper towels or something to clean this up. Of course, you being the pig pen that you are, there were no paper towels to be found in your office, so I had to go into training. Your kids were already in the tunnel waiting for the girls' game to be done. Well, some of them were. Nevin's in the training room rolling around stretching on some styrofoam thing.
Yes.
Derek is in the other hallway in front of your door doing some yoga or some weird stretching activity. And then the rest of the team is in a circle, of which Tristan is leading them. I can't get into the dialogue that was going on.
Yeah.
We would have fit in well, but I just can't go there. And they're passing a ball around in this, you know, back in your like little tunnel area. And they're just having a heyday.
Yeah.
They're not, but at the same time, they're fun. They have a good time. They enjoy each other's companies. There's not a lot of clicks on that team. But they seem to be mature enough that when it's time to go, they can flip a switch and do that. That's kind of something that coaches often are very envious of other teams to be able to do.
Well, I think that... Yeah, I've said this all the time, every year. You know, I think sometimes it gets lost that this is supposed to be fun. You know, that's everybody has their culture that they want to have in their locker room. And for me, fun is a part of that. I think it's a long season. We want to enjoy each other. Our coaches mess with each other a lot, obviously, rip each other a lot. The kids enjoy that, and the kids mess with each other a lot. But I think we know we're all in this together, and they're very competitive, and I think that's how they, as you put it, flip the switch. I think they want to compete. Our practices are like that. Or, you know, they don't like to not play well, and that competitiveness is something that I think has helped us get off to good starts and play well.
Coming up, we'll be previewing the next game upcoming at Alexander on January the 20th. But coming up next, an Alexander graduate, alumni, and an all-around great guy who's been very, very successful making his living as a college coach. Eric Gabriel joins the podcast next. Back on the Viking Realm Ball podcast, presented by McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Wellston, and Oak Hill. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. Episode number 70 of the Viking Realm Ball podcast, alongside head boys basketball coach Matt Combs. I'm Carl Knox. Headed into our guest segment for this episode, and it's always a treat to go back in time and welcome in former TVC athletic standouts and check in and see what they're doing now. Happy to welcome in none other than Eric Gabriel. He's a graduate of the Alexander Local School District and now a very successful Division I assistant men's head coach or assistant men's coach down at High Point University in North Carolina. How you doing, Eric?
Doing well, Carl. Appreciate you having me.
Okay, well, got coach here beside me, and I guess time flies when you're having fun, but he was kind of reminiscing about way back in the day when he was a JV coach, just getting his feet wet in the coaching biz over at Alexander, and was talking about you being quite a basketball as well as a football quarterback. A lot of things have changed. Tell us a little bit about how you've gone from Alexander, you know, and all the coaching experience and how you've gotten to be where you're at today.
I was really lucky growing up to have a dad that was in basketball and introduced me to it at a young age. And he coached, you know, Biddy League, the junior high at the old Waterloo School at Alexander and took me along. And I was really, really fortunate to have those, you know, that chance to learn from him and see how much the game gave to him and our family, I think was a big part for me. And as I grew up and played and then got to play under a lot of great coaches, Coach Reese when he was at Alexander, you know, and Coach Kearns, who's there now, and just all the coaches that were along, Coach Combs, and everybody that I kind of got to come in contact with as a player, you just learn from them, and you kind of you see what you want to do with your life. And I wanted to be a high school basketball coach for as long as I could remember. And when I was done playing at West Liberty, my dad had an assistant job open that he brought me on for. I took over for Mike Chapman as his assistant. And we were lucky to be successful enough, you know, in a couple of years for me to get a head coaching job and at Fort Loramie and over above Dayton. I did it for a couple of years and then realized I just kind of wanted to do the college, take a chance at college, and it's been a long road to get here to where I'm at. It's not the easiest profession in the world to get started in. But really didn't know I wanted to be a college coach until after those 4 years of coaching high school, for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, Eric, appreciate you being on today with us, man. It's been a long time since we've talked, but
yeah,
I see your dad all the time. You know, he's a basketball junkie still. He likes to go to all these games, and he's done a little scouting for us from time to time. So I've stayed in touch with him, and he's always kind of kept me up to date on how you're doing. But you know, the one thing you had mentioned, high school, coaching in high school, and I don't know. You know, I don't know the actual statistics on this, but it seems like most college coaches don't go that route. You know, most college coaches end up being a grad assistant and kind of go through there. But you having went that high school route first, and then obviously, like you say, it's a long journey. You kind of got to start out on the bottom, so to speak, and work your way up at the college. Yeah. I don't think people understand that. You just don't put in a resume and just become an assistant. You have to, like, you know, jump through the hoops and go, you know, pay your dues. But that high school experience, has that been something that's helped you, you know, as you go out and recruit, you know, having seen the other side of it a little bit, has that been something that's kind of been beneficial?
Absolutely. I can't say that if I had it all over to do again, I can't say that I would do it the same way.
Right, sure, yeah.
But what I wouldn't trade in is the 2 years with my dad. I definitely wouldn't trade that in those first 2 years of coaching. Not everybody gets that chance.
Right.
So I definitely wouldn't trade that. And then being a head high school coach, having head coaching experience, it doesn't matter what level it's at. It's still a head coach and you're making the decisions.
Right.
So when you get to be, then when you go, you know, you're a college assistant, you see, you know, your head coach, you've been there. You know, you've been in that first seat on the bench and you know what it's like to have to make those decisions quickly. And I think it's made me a better assistant. In that realm. And then I also, yeah, like you said, from being on the high school side, going back to recruit, the number one thing I do recruiting is get in touch with high school coach, because I know that the high school coach, you know, in the world of AAU and workout guys and right. handlers and mentors and all that stuff, having been the high school coach, that guy knows. Like, I know that if I want to recruit a kid at Benton County, I'm going to call Matt Combs because he's going to tell me the truth.
Right.
And he knows the kid better, because you've had him in an organized basketball setting. You know what the kid's like in school. You know what the kid's attitude's like around people in the community. You know all that stuff. Where a lot of the people that are just connected to the kid but don't see him every day like that are different. So that's kind of been where I've tied in the high school experience for me. And it's helped me a lot, I think, getting to this point.
Yeah, and that's a great point about because you're right. We live in a day and age where it's not just the high school coach anymore. It's a lot of different people involved. And mm-hmm. But you know, the funny thing about it is, and you know this, being a Southern Ohio kid growing up and getting to go to college. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, I've coached in this area for a long time now, and it seems like sometimes kids, it's difficult. You know, people will say, well, it's difficult to get kids recognized from Southern Ohio. And I don't know if that's true as much as it is. I think sometimes kids don't know what to do to kind of, you know, start the process. And, you know, if you were going to give some advice, being a guy that's obviously seen every side of it as a coach, but way back as a player too, when you were, I don't know exactly how it shook out to where West Liberty noticed you and you got on there, but you know, what advice would you give a kid who's wanting to play at the next level, probably isn't talented enough to play at your level right now, but maybe a kid that's an NAI D2 kid, maybe, what advice would you give them just in terms of trying to do it the right way to get their name out there or whatever?
Right. Number one, I would say don't over worry about it. Play. Like, be a good player. That's the number one thing that's going to get you there. Be a good player. Be a good student. With social media and the internet today, like, it's easy to get out there. That don't take as much time and effort as it used to when you and I were coming up, and you didn't have all the video technology and stuff that they have today.
Right.
So if you're good, you can be found. Now, if you're not, if you don't feel like you're getting the exposure, just reach out. It's so easy to find contact info now. Right. There's not an email that goes across my desk that I don't look at. Now, it might be, it doesn't matter what kind of player, but I'm going to look at it because kid, he might be good. Like, I never know until I look at the video.
Right.
And it's probably 1 out of 100 that I actually, you know, follow up with because I think they're a good enough player and meet all of our criteria. But
right.
you can't put all your time into just that because it is easier. You just reach out. Use people you know. For instance, if a high school coach knows a college guy, you know, knows a college coach, if someone comes to you as Coach Combs and says, Coach, can you help me out? Use those people. You know, you might call me and other coaches you know and say, hey, I got this kid. What level? You know, do you know anybody you can call? Because I make calls to other colleges numerous times for kids. Because ultimately, being from Southeast Ohio and knowing how hard it is to get recruited out of there before all the technology, I want to help those kids. You know, I think every kid that's good enough to play somewhere deserves that chance, and they just, if they need a little help, I'm going to give it to them. And that's what most coaches do at our level. Now, obviously, I ain't calling anybody in our league.
Yeah.
I get that. I'll call West Liberty, and I help West Liberty out all the time. We're always bouncing, you know, names off each other. I've helped other teams out in that Division II league. Definitely called Division III coach. I've coached at Division II, Division III, and Division I. So, you know, you just got to use your contacts is the main thing, because I think the most important thing for us as coaches is if we get the word from somebody that we trust is more important than the social media part and the video part and the, you know, the stats and all that stuff. It's if someone calls me that I really trust and has told me about good players before and says, hey, you need to check this kid out, I'm really going to follow up with that kid because I trust that guy. So that's kind of how, for me, the recruiting thing works the most efficiently. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, one thing I was noticing on your bio is that in addition to your role, once you got to High Point, I guess the first year you were also over video operations. Obviously, technology and video and tape, and then you alluded to the social media aspect. What did that job, what all did that entail?
So when I got into college coaching, I was Division III assistant and then went to Division II for 4 years and then had an opportunity to come to High Point as a video coordinator, director of video development, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Division I, not a lot of people don't realize this, but you really can only have 4 coaches. You can have a head coach and 3 assistants. And those 4 people are allowed to recruit and they're allowed to coach on the floor in practice. Anybody else, when you see these, you look at a college basketball game and there's 8 people in suits on the bench or 9 people, and you have no idea who these people are. You just think they got coaches. That's not the truth. Only 4 of those people can really coach. So when I first got in Division I, my first 2 years, I couldn't coach on the floor or recruit, but what I could do is break down film, help the head coach with any scouting or self-scouting that we needed to do if he needed something, have players come in my office and watch film for player development and learn. And what it did for me is it taught me, you know, I learned from really good head coaches at Division II and Joey Higginbotham and Justin Namlich about how to prepare for scouting. That's the biggest difference in I believe, in college and high school, is just the amount of information you take into each game. And it really taught me from them. I learned how to prepare from them, and then I got the video part.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I got the video part and I was able to really watch basketball. I mean, you can. Every team plays different and does things differently, and you can really learn. If you're a young coach and you want to learn, watch video. that's what I would say. Record games with DVR or whatever you got now, and watch games and rewind and fast forward and do whatever you have to do to watch games over and over and over, and watch all five pieces or all 10 pieces on the court and how they work together. And that's what it did for me. For 2 years, I was able to do that. And ultimately, that's why I was able to jump into an assistant job, because our head coach saw me do that and learn, and then was able to trust me to jump up when it was open.
Yeah, the video thing had to be quite a learning experience, because it's really cool now how easy it is to do video too, you know. And at the height, you know, when I first started coaching high school, you had to rewind the VHS tape, fast forward to VHS tape, you know, and now everything being computerized is nice. But you're right. I mean, it's, if you want to be a student of the game now, it's not hard to be, you know, you can do it. you just got to put the time in.
No question. There's games on TV every night.
Yeah.
You know, and if you have the ability to watch it on, I think people have satellite. Honestly, I don't even have cable or satellite TV. I watch everything. Every game I watch, the teams we're playing, I just download them and watch them.
Yeah.
You rewind and fast forward.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Do you make it back home to your mom and dad's very often?
Every once in a while, usually for Christmas, our coach does a good job of scheduling games to give us a couple. And then I try to come up there and recruit Ohio a lot. We've signed a kid out of Columbus. I've recruited a lot of kids. We signed two kids out of Columbus, I guess. I've recruited the Cleveland area a lot.
Mm-hmm.
A couple kids in Southeast Ohio around the area. Not allowed to say names. I'm talking to, you know, so I really want to recruit Ohio, because we've had a lot of success with Ohio kids in our program. And I want to do that. So I try to get up there and stay with them. And my dad goes with me to recruit sometimes and watch kids. But I'm excited about the kid we have that we've signed, I can say, is Caden Sanchez from St. Francis de Sales in Columbus.
Post player, really good. Yeah.
We're really excited about him. And I flew up there last week to watch him play. I want to keep getting Ohio kids. So I'm looking forward to hopefully getting to the combo. Will be my next visit when there's games going on over there. And that's where I first saw Caden play. Get back for those.
Yeah, I mean, it was we saw that kid. He was in the regionals last year when we were. That's a really good player. I had forgotten. I think your dad told me you guys had signed him, and I had forgotten. So that is that's pretty neat. Yeah, got getting some of the local guys.
No doubt.
Well, Eric, if you're taking your dad Blaine recruiting with you, I think your dad could sell an Eskimo a load of fish. I mean, so right there, the last time I ran into your dad, and you'll appreciate this, my brother and I walk into, what is it, Shades over in Athens. We're going to the Vinton County Athens game, and your dad's sitting there with a bunch of his buddies having a beer, and, you know, we're all nervous because Athens-Vinton County kind of turned into a good rivalry, and he's like, I'm telling you right now, you guys are going to win by 15 points easy. And if you don't, I'll buy you lunch. But you just go ahead and plan on buying me lunch. and as I'm walking out of the McAfee Gymnasium over in Athens, I hear this, "Hey, Knox!" And I look up, and your dad's, he's like, "You owe me lunch." So it's the classic Blaine Gabriel. But hey, really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and continued best of success to you. Really a great story, and hope things keep going well for you. Okay, Eric?
Hey, I appreciate it, and good luck, Coach Combs. Man, y'all keep it rolling. I hear you got a good team.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Appreciate it, man.
Eric Gabriel, the assistant men's coach down at High Point University in North Carolina. What a nice guy. I don't say young man, because he's been in business quite a while now. He's got some years.
You knew when you watched Eric in high school, he had a great personality. He was going to, you know, do some things, whatever he decided to go into. And you know, he went into coaching, and I think it's been quite a journey. And I think people, you know, don't understand the dues that these guys pay when they get to the D1 level as an assistant, or, you know, sometimes a head coach. man, you're talking a lot of hours. You know,
not a lot of pay.
We didn't talk to him a lot about his family and the sacrifices I'm sure they've had to make, you know,
right.
Or his wife, you know, had to make, you know, because it's I mean, it's moving from one place to the other, and you're trying to get your foot in the door here. And trying. So those people deserve a lot of credit. It's not, I mean, once you get there, it's a great job to have, but, man, these guys pay their dues to get there. And so, yeah, it's always fun, I think, to, you and I have been doing this show a long time, and like 70 episodes or something. And I was looking back the other day, kind of writing down the guests we've had, because you almost forget who all we had.
Yeah.
And that's what made me think of Eric's, like, you know, here's a guy, you know, we're playing Alexander, and we haven't had him. It's fun to come up with a new guest. And I thought some of the points he made on like recruiting and stuff were really, really good. You know, those are, I thought it was, from that standpoint, in terms of kids learning something,
right.
If they listen to this, it's probably one of our better shows.
Yeah, I mean, and to the point he made with the video, as far as the four assistant coach, I never knew that.
I didn't know that either. That's very interesting.
Because I was like, video operations, he's an assistant.
Because he's right. You see, like, you watch Ohio State, there's like 17 guys over there, like in suits, and you think they're all coaching. Right. I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Well, and to the advice of young coaches watching video. I mean, and how much, especially in today's age of technology, how easy it is. And to that point, with you guys, how you do this huddle program that you're, you know, the coaches, the kids, and I know you've done real well this year as far as doing stats and you going there and putting tags. How often do you keep track, or how much tape do your kids watch?
Well, you can track it on there, as you know. I don't pay a lot of attention to how much they watch individually, but we do as a team. Like, we will today at practice, coming off a game last night, it's sort of hard to go real physical, you know, that next day. We will watch film of last night because
bits and pieces.
People think, you know, you win by a bunch, you know, you must have been perfect. And
there's,
we weren't
mistakes.
Perfect. There was a bunch of mess-ups defensively we need to look at. So we'll look at that, and then eventually, you know, well, sometimes we watch film on opponents. Like with Megs, we watched last year's film a little bit.
Saw,
we wanted to see their 1-3-1 zone. You know, we wanted to see. So sometimes you watch the year before just to show them a couple things. Maybe every now and then you'll get a scouting film on somebody and you'll show kids. But I mean, basically, it's so easy now to show your kids film, because back in the day, I'd literally have a piece of paper and say, okay, counter number 0001 to 0025 this play, and you'd have to fast forward. Now it's just you click a button and there's your play. You click a button, so we can watch. I can take kids into a film room now and watch 25 plays in 15 minutes, and we'll be out of there. You know,
yeah, so when was the last time? I'm assuming anytime you exchange tape, you just put it in an MP3 or, you know, put it in, not an MP3, but put it in a file and email it, right?
Well, yeah. If another team's on huddle, you just
share.
Send it to them,
right.
And if they're not, it's an email link. And it's funny, I can remember. This is something we ought to do on a show sometime, talk about scouting and the changes in that. But
I remember not 6-7 years ago, me, you, Jeff Miller, and Pup were going to an OSU men's game.
Yeah.
And we had to go via way of Williamsport
to pick up a film or something.
Pick up game tape at some coach's house.
Yeah, I want you to think about, I can remember, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, Tom Barrick. You know, when I first started coaching, he was a legendary coach. He was a legendary coach then. He's still, you know. And I asked him for a film once, and he met me at a gas station to help me out. And I was as nervous as I've ever been, thinking, this guy's forgot more basketball than I know, and I'm meeting him at this gas station to get this film.
Yep.
And he was very nice to me, and it really taught me a lesson about, once you get a little bit older, treat young coaches nice, because he was good to me. But I mean, think about the inconvenience of that. Guy has to make a copy of a tape. Guy has to hop in his car. Guy has to drive to a gas station. I mean, now it's one click of a button. So Eric's right. You know, the film is readily available. Kids can watch it. Coaches, if you want to get smarter, and you don't, it's your own fault today, because it's all right there.
Yeah.
You got resources out the wazoo, internet. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Right. Well, before we get out of here, I only have one game coming up in the before we tape again, and that, ironically, is at the Alexander Alley, coming up Friday, January the 20th. Coach Kearns, I know he graduated quite a load of seniors last year, and their record right now, let's see, they are overall they are 7-3 overall, 4-1 in the TVC. Played a pretty tough schedule, and one thing that just jumps right out to me is defensively, they're holding their opponents to pretty low numbers. So I know with Jimmy Kearns, he's a man-to-man first defensive kind of guy, they're going to be pretty tough on you defensively.
Yeah, they have a nice, you know, obviously it's a tough system to play against. They do a good job in their system. They defend. They have their rules and the way they approach it. And I think that they're going to be they're always a team that's not easy to play against, and you got to go on the road. So as we talk to our kids about it, you know, and we've had some tough road tests already, you know, going to places like Chillicothe. And,
right.
But at the same time, it's always a little different in the league. You know, we went to Athens early in the year, and I think the later the year goes, you go on the road in the league, and we're going to have to do this. We actually only have 3 home games left out of 10. So we're going to be on the road a lot. And we're going to test our mental toughness starting Friday night. And I think our kids are ready for it. And we're going to have a good week of practice, I'm sure. And, you know, but it's always a battle over there. They're like you say, they got a lot of new faces because they graduated a bunch. And they've got obviously a really talented, like, younger group of freshman and JV guys right now. And then they're mixing some in with the varsity. But they still do it the right way. They're still athletic. They still guard you. So, even though they're a little bit inexperienced, maybe in places, it's still, anytime you play them, it's a test. It's a battle.
Well, it'll be a good game. Triple header, right, Coach?
Yeah, 5 o'clock start, and like it always is.
Well, that'll be and get there early, because I have a feeling that'll be a packed house Friday night.
Yeah, seems like right now it always is, and, you know, that's fun. That's fun to play in front of that.
Yeah, and always a good student block, or a very active student block, that they have cheer section over at Alexander. So that'll be a good game. We'll be back next week with episode 71. So for Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Round Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Round Ball Podcast.